If you have known Jesus for some time, I think you will understand what I am about to say, that our Lord Jesus never wasted his words. He was always to the point, and he instructs us to do the same. Here's an example. In our prayers, he instructs us to say only the words that are necessary. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, you don't have to say lots of words to God to impress him. Just stick to the point. And the Lord's Prayer is a finest example of prayer for us to say. So for the next few weeks, as we examine those choice words Jesus has put in the Lord's Prayer, may God bless us so that we may say it and live it out daily. A little recap of what I said last Sunday. I said last Sunday, we learn to call God in heaven our Father. He is not a God who is cold and stern and stays aloof from his children. Prayer is not a religion, I said, or a chore. You don't have to drag your feet to say a word in prayer. Rather, it is a relationship and privilege. Each time we pray to God, our Father is delighted to see us. And I hope and pray that we feel the same way when we pray to God. We are delighted to see and talk to him. He loves to answer our prayers, and we will join our Father in heaven for an eternal fellowship with him. And that's what I said last Sunday. And today I'm doing part 2 of 6 in this series on the Lord's Prayer. Taking up one sentence, hallowed be thy name. We know it by heart, do we not? Literally it means, let your name be holy. Your name is to be properly respected and treated. In my own words, in my own life, in our church and outside of church. Let's take a fresh look on the name of the Lord this morning, because it is the first and foremost thing for us to remember in our prayer. His name. You know, I studied on the names of God, how many names listed in the scriptures, and I discovered, I'm still counting, 18 names ascribed to God in the Old Testament alone. I'm sure some of you heard of these names. I'm going to name a few. His name is I Am. When Moses was sent by the Lord, he asked the Lord, Lord, tell me your name so that I could answer the people of Israel, who has sent me. And the Lord says, I am who I am, Jehovah. Another name of the Lord is this. You heard about it. El Shaddai. Hebrew word El means God. Shaddai means might or mighty. So El Shaddai means God the Almighty. You heard of the name before. Another name is the Everlasting God. Another name is Peace. God says, I am, my name is Peace. Did you also know that God calls himself, my name is Jealous? Oh well, I'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's truth. Exodus 34:14, God calls himself, my name is Jealous. It's not just adjective. He says, my name is Jealous. Okay? Under the name of the Lord is the Lord of Hosts. Just a few names. So what's the big deal with God's name anyway? Right? Everything, folks. It means everything in our relationship with God. One thing is for sure, depending on how we treat the name of the Lord, our life either will be filled with blessings or filled with troubles. So why should we care about His name after all? Because God cares about His name. Because He commands us to do the same thing. Take excellent care of His name. Because if we don't, God will hold us accountable. As a matter of fact, anyone who doesn't. I'm going to throw three questions before you. Number one, what does His name mean to God? It may help us to know the truth. Above all names in heaven and on the earth, there are people, they have names, and places have names, and so does, you know, every single creature, including God Himself. Above all names in heaven and on the earth, guess whose name God cares about the most? His own name. How seriously does God take His own name? I studied, and this is what I discovered. Answer is found in the Bible. He takes His name most seriously, most jealously, and most furiously. He has the utmost concern for His holy name. Why? Because He's the King of heaven and the earth. Because He's the Lord of all and King of kings. And His name is never to be trifled with. Rather, it is to be feared and honored. Listen to prophet Zechariah. He says, "The Lord will be king over all the earth, and in that day the Lord will be the only one, and His name the only one." I discovered that the Lord protects His name so fiercely that He gets jealous. I'm using the right word, taken directly from the scripture. He gets jealous when any other name gets in between Him and His people, you and me. Listen to this, Exodus 23. Right after the Lord gave 10 commandments to Moses, this is what He says to him and to the people of Israel. "Now concerning everything which I," means the Lord, "have said to you, be on your guard and do not mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth." The Bible repeatedly says, and the God is not ashamed of, He just plainly let us know He is a jealous God. Now, we don't want to hear that. We just cringe. Oh, Old Testament, that's why I don't like God, the jealous God, angry God. Listen, wait until you hear the rest of my sermon. God is not, you know, shy about it. He says, "I'm jealous, I'm jealous." Listen, Ezekiel 39 says this. God says, "I will be jealous for my holy name." Did you hear? We have to understand that God's jealousy is for His holy name. Only for holy name. Okay? And in fact, it is the love jealousy, if I could compare to close this example, it is the love jealousy between two lovers, God and His people. And God says, "I'm the husband and you, Israel, my people, is my wife," He says. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "I'm the groom, the husband, and the church is my bride." How can you blame someone who's just burning with jealousy, if you will? Let's say a husband looking at the wife going after other men. Can you blame the husband because of his jealousy? The other way around, wife is so burning with jealousy when she saw her husband going after women. And you multiply million times of that jealousy, and that's how God feels. Listen one more time. The only time, one and the only time God gets jealous is when His people go after other gods. This is what God says, "I'm the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images." So whenever His name is profaned by idol worship or defiled by acts of abomination of His own people, by the way, abomination is a big word, isn't it? Old Testament word. However, most of us don't have no idea. You just say it doesn't sound right. So we just avoid that. Abomination is anything that cringes the Lord. You cringe of the word itself, but abomination means anything that irks God. God says, oh no, I don't like it. That's abomination. Whenever we do that, the Lord gets jealous and provoked to anger. You know, I was curious to know how many times God was actually provoked to anger in the Old Testament. 9 times, folks. This is an amazing discovery. Every single time when he was provoked to anger by his own people, by the way, behind that, always idolatry, worshipping of the idols. Isn't it so interesting? Deuteronomy 32 says this, they, meaning the people of Israel, made him, meaning God, jealous with strange gods, with abominations, they provoked him to anger. As I said, if you understand, oh, the reason why God gets jealous is because I'm following other gods. The people are following other gods. And God gets jealous. You cannot blame him for getting jealous because he loves us so much. The second question before you is this. What does his name mean to his children? We discover that he takes most seriously his own name. What about us? What his name means to us. Isaiah 26 says this, his name is the desire of our souls. I want you to sit on it for a while. His name is the desire of our souls. Chew on it, folks. Meditate on it. Can you honestly say that God's name is the desire of my soul? We could say that. Oh, so-and-so is my desire of my soul, if you are in love with someone. Such-and-such thing is desire of my soul. But can we honestly say, God's name is the desire of my soul? His name is our refuge and shelter in times of trouble. Are you in trouble? And guess what? What name should you call his name? Your refuge and shelter. His name also the key to the answered prayers. You know, if you say the prayer, think of the prayers that you say. At the end of the prayer, what do you say? Amen. But did you know that Jesus instructs us again, commands us to include, say the prayer, in his name? So next time, remember, when you say a prayer, at the end you say, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Here's another promise. What his name means to us? When we call on his name, he will deliver us. His name is our SOS call. His name is our spiritual 911. Listen to the Jeremiah, the prophet. He says, I called on your name, O Lord, out of the lowest pit. Do you find yourself in the lowest, lowest pit? And what do you need to do? Call on his name, and he will deliver you. Third question before you. What are we called to do with his name? Number one, we are called to revere and esteem and fear and stand in awe of God's name. To those who do, God promises the blessings as follows. Attention and hearing. A book of remembrance before the Lord. What? He's going to give attention to you and he's going to hear you and he's going to write down in the book of remembrance who you are, what you've done. When you revere and esteem and fear and stand in awe of his name. Not only that, there are three more. He also gives us, to those who revere his name, life and peace. Isn't that what we want? Life and peace. And also strength and courage. So if you're looking for all of this attention and hearing and remembrance by God, life and peace and strength, you know where to start. Begin with the reverence of God's name and stand in awe of his name. The second thing we are called to do is this. Honor and exalt his name not just with our lips, but by keeping His commandments. By keeping His commandments, God says, oh, you honored me today, my name. They said, how did I honor your name, Lord? And God says, because you kept my commandments. Here's a thing for you to consider. You know, 1 Thessalonians says that be thankful in all circumstances. It's easy to be thankful when everything goes well. It's not easy to be thankful when things are bad. And intentionally you make a choice saying, the Lord, I don't like this. I don't understand why this is happening or not happening. But declare to everybody, I am thankful to God. You know what? From heaven, God looking down at you and say, hey, you honored my name today. You say, how did I do? God says, by keeping my command. Third way to honor, the way to do with God's name is this. We are called to manifest and proclaim His name to all the world by loving each other as Christ has loved us. You know, when you think of the word manifest and proclaim God's name to all the world, we say, not me, as the Billy Graham, or like a big, you know, pastors of huge congregation. No, God says, you can manifest and proclaim my name to all the world by simply loving each other as Christ has loved us. One last thing He has called us to do is to show love to His name by ministering to each other in His name. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. You know, the way I see it is this. We are ministering to each other, even in Sunday morning with each other. Do not underestimate the power of shaking hands and, you know, passing of the peace. You know what we do? By shaking hands and showing the smile to each other, you are ministering to each other. And God looking down on us and He says, you just showed your love to my name. You said, how did I do, Lord? By ministering to each other. You've been teaching the Sunday school kids and God said, you showed your love to my name. You've been visiting the shut-ins and God says the same thing. You show your love to my name. God will not forget, and He will reward us for our ministry to the saints. And one last thing, and I'll be through. There are two things when it comes down to the answered prayers, because we're still talking about Lord's Prayer, right? The context is, you know, the prayer. There are two things that we need to avoid by all means when it comes down to answered prayers. What are they? Idol worship and taking His name in vain. Idol worship and taking His name in vain. Let me tell you, if you do these two things constantly, you better not expect your answers from the Lord for your prayers. These two things are a sure prayer killer or blocker, if you will, because it is considered sin before the Lord. By the way, you don't want to make God angry or jealous before you ask for His favor, right? You like to hit someone on the face and say, hey, by the way, would you do me a favor? You don't want to do that. So these two things consider such a thing. But what is the first one? Idol worship. You know, if you listen to Prophet Ezekiel, God was speaking to Prophet Ezekiel. The context is this. By that time, Ezekiel was active. The people of Israel was exiled, taken out of their homeland and moved, you know, transferred to different foreign land. Okay? They were suffering a lot. And this is how God explained to Prophet Ezekiel why that exile happened, took place. Because they set their threshold, meaning their means, the idols, by my threshold in the God's temple, and their doorpost beside my doorpost, with only the wall between me and them, means idol. And then they, this time they means the people of God, have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have committed, so I have consumed them in my anger. You see,
Whenever you hear God's anger, jealous, whatever, always, always idol worship. Now, in those days, for centuries, the people of God erected the image and the graven image and molten image right in the center of courtyard of God's temple, and they worshiped it. That's what God is talking about. So you move your timetable from, you know, almost 3,000 years ago to now. I don't see much difference even in the church today. Did you know that God's word now calls us, you and me, each individual, you are my temple, God's temple, where the Spirit of God dwells. Do you get that? Your body is God's temple. My body is God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in us. So we carry God's temple wherever we go. Now I want you to open your heart. You're the only one who could open and look inside. What do you see in your heart? It is the temple, isn't it? And the center, there is a throne and God is seated there. And who else do you see? What else do you see? Do you see even the center throne, God is seated, or someone else or something else seated there? You're the only one who knows. God says, do you see anything considered idol? What's the definition of idol? Definition of idol is that anything and any person you consider follow as God. Okay? It could be greed, it could be covetousness, it could be love of money, it could be, you know, your own pursuit of whatever it is, fame or power, okay? That comes before God. That's idol. It's time to get rid of them. By the way, when we continually worship the idols, something is bound to happen to us. You know what that is? You begin to forget God's name. Okay? God is speaking all of this out of his own experience with his own people. Hundreds of years. And I don't think we are any, you know, different. If you begin to follow the other gods, sooner or later you begin to forget God's name. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing is not to take his name in vain. If you do, then you're going to be in trouble. Now, Exodus 27, chapter 20, verse 7. One of the Ten Commandments says this, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. We all know that, Ten Commandments, right? We shall not, God continues, swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Jesus commands us not to swear at all, right? Now, think of the society we are living in, folks. I'm saddened, for example, each time I watch any movie, PG-13 or R-rated movie, whatever, just almost every single movie I watch, I'm not a movie watcher to begin with, but movies out now, almost once or twice at least, they don't have to include that thing. You know? Some bad words. And using the name of the Lord in vain. Why our Lord's name all the time? As I said, the movie screenwriters, they don't have to use them. But they do. What saddens me more is that all the Christians, we watch those movies, don't think anything big deal out of it. Well, definitely according to the Bible, God will hold them accountable. You use the name, my name, in vain. But what about the rest of us? You know, if you do the same thing with Muhammad, boy, you better start worrying about your own life. You see what I'm saying? But all the screenwriters using the name of the Lord in vain, they don't feel, you know, something to think about. For closing, let us begin our prayer with a reminder. Hallowed be thy name. You see, last week we talked about our Father in heaven. We established our relationship with God, who God is and who we are to him. And now we're establishing the foundation of our prayer where we say, your name means everything here. Your name to be holy in my words and in my actions and in my life. And as we say, the hallowed be thy name, we promise to God that we are going to revere his holy name. That's what it means. Let our mouth never utter anything that would defile the name of the Lord. Let our hearts stay clear from idols or anything that is displeasing to the Lord. And then you and I are ready to say the prayers, and our prayers will be answered. Let's pause and pray. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Grant us, Lord, purified, sanctified lips, that we would never defile your holy name. Grant us, O Lord, sanctified hearts, that we would not erect any idols in our hearts. Help us to glorify your name in all the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.